Morning, everybody. We're going to take a couple of minutes just to get grounded, get centered. So I'm going to encourage you all just to get settled down in your comfortable space. A couple of breaths. This is not a meditation so much as just a little relaxation. And imagine you're tuning the radio of your mind to the highest level of consciousness that's available to you at this moment. Beyond your feelings, beyond your thoughts, beyond the past, beyond the future. Tuning into the now moment. Opening yourself up to whatever it is you need to learn this morning. Knowing that it will be there for you.
I'll be back in about an hour. Or less, really. I was going to go sit out here.
I'm not sure who we have here.
Angela.
Somebody's broadcasting without knowing it, I think. We snuck into your room. Hello, is everybody there? Okay. You might want to put yourself on mute. And then if you need to say something, just unmute yourself. That'll make life a little bit easier. Because sometimes that works on my end and sometimes it doesn't. So if you can mute yourself, that might be helpful to cut out any other extraneous noises that might come about. Okay. Let me share something with you that we shared last week. But just a piece of it that I think is tremendously important. This is the guides speaking, those who have dictated this work. We sing your song for you when you cannot sing it for yourself. So when you cannot choose for yourself, we will sit silently beside you and we will hold your hand and love you as you sit there until you align yourself to whatever choice you need to make. You are never alone. We're going to begin on page 206. And again, as usual, if you have some questions or comments or whatever it is you need to do, please feel free to throw that in. If this is your first time in this group, first of all, those of you who are online, if you just kind of joined us fairly recently, make sure that you get on our, I won't call it a mailing list. Make sure you let me know what your email is so I can make sure you get the materials from after every Sunday class. We do a meditation, we have a reflection, and we have a video link that lasts for at least a couple of weeks if you want to watch the broadcast again. So it's always available to you. But you have to have an email to be able to do that. So let me know if you don't have my email. It's this. It's GERRYBOY, Jerryboy at TWC.com. So make sure you send that to me and I'll make sure that you get on our list for every Sunday morning. Okay, we're on page 206. By the way, if you think I really get turned on Sunday morning, you ought to hear me on Tuesday night. I never shut up. Tuesday night, we're doing another book. We're not connected with Unity on Tuesday night. It's just a book study. We're doing another book by Paul Selig called the Book of Realization, Beyond the Known. And that goes from, if you want to be on that class, perfectly okay, just send me your email and I'll remind you. It goes from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clook on Tuesday evening.
His books channeled.
Pardon me?
Or all of Selig's
books. Yes, all of his stuff is channeled.
Everything he does. Channel.
Pardon me?
Isn't everything channel?
Well, really, when you come right down to it, yes.
Because I tripped out about 20 years ago, and I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, I think it's channel, and I'm freaking out. And he said to me, George, because isn't everything channel?
Yeah, good. It was channeled. Ooh. Ooh. Let's put it this way. The way, this is a paraphrase from the Buddha. He said, don't believe anything I tell you. Don't believe anything anybody tells you. Only believe what resonates with your heart in this moment. So if it speaks the truth to you, now it doesn't matter where the heck it comes from, whether it's channeled or from a comic strip, okay? If it's speaking to your heart, it's your truth at that moment. Now, that might expand, it might change, it might be different tomorrow than it is right now. That doesn't matter. Whatever it is that resonates with you as being the truth to you today or for you today, that is your truth, wherever it comes from. Is it channeled? You know, depends on what you mean by that. Is it coming from divine source? Of course it is. Could be a flower growing up in the sidewalk that you know wakes you up to the beauty of the moment. Doesn't have to be a word, doesn't have to be a picture, doesn't have to be a poem, could be any one of those things. The secret is being open to that. Because that's where I can become so preoccupied with what's going on up here or what I think should be happening next that I miss what's going on around me. I mean, how often am I in the present moment? See, that's what I like about Sunday morning, because I have to be present to you. If I'm not, if I'm just sort of spouting off my own stuff, if this is just coming from my ego, nobody's going to show up anymore, okay? It just doesn't work. The integrity of who you are as it comes forth through this text, through the agreements you make, call to you in every instance, the ways you have supported yourself in denial of your worth. I'm not, you know, that comes from Christian scripture, where a leader of the synagogue came up to Jesus and said, would you heal my servant? And Jesus said, of course, where do you live? And he said, essentially, well, the way it's translated is, "Oh Lord, I am not worthy that I should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed." What he was saying essentially is, I don't want to bother you. You don't have to walk to my house to heal my servant. You can do it from a distance. You can do it right here. If you will that my servant be healed, even though you're 5 miles away, right, I know that can happen. So it isn't something that, oh, I'm a worm, I'm a big fat worm. Or as a friend of mine used to say, I'm a sewer, I'm a big ugly sewer. It isn't about that at all. It's saying, I don't want to bother you. I know you can work this miracle from a distance, so I am open to that. It's not that there's something wrong with me, I'm not worthy. I don't want to bother you. You can work this miracle from where you stand. And that's what we're being asked to do. There's nothing unworthy. You can't be unworthy. You can think you are. You can think anything you want, if you want to. But you can't be. You are a divine child of God. You cannot be other than what you are. You might think there are some things that can get in the way of that, but there aren't. Nothing. How did Paul put it? Absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. No matter how you think, no matter how you feel, no matter what you're carrying around with you, nothing can separate you from the truth of who you are. And that's, I mean, we say that once, we say that twice, we say that again and again and again and again, and we'll keep saying until it sinks in. I'm saying that for myself, by the way. Now, Paul is asking, good old Paul. Paul, by the way, has sort of volunteered himself. I will ask all the stupid questions that you're afraid to ask. Because there aren't any stupid answers. Or there are stupid answers sometimes, but there are no stupid questions. So Paul says, the author of this book, the one who's being channeled that this stuff is coming through. But what if I don't know I am a divine being? You say it's true, whether or not I know it's true, but how do I know? I feel like I pretend when I claim these words, I am a divine child of God. All of us have been there, all of us will probably be there again. What the guys are saying is, it doesn't matter how you feel. How you feel is not the truth of who you are. How you feel is important. You might have to do something with your feelings. But please, 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 don't use your feelings, your emotions, as a way of defining your spiritual state. Because they just don't jive together. Who you are and how you are has nothing to do with how you feel. You might have heard that expression. I used to hear this in recovery quite often. I haven't heard it in a while, but if you feel far away from God, who moved? Did you ever hear that one? I'd like to shoot whoever it was who invented that. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It doesn't matter how you, first of all, God doesn't move. God's everywhere. God can't move away from you because you're part of the essence of your being. However you feel has nothing to do with who you are. It's just how you feel. And you might have to do some work on that, but it does not define you, nor does it define your spiritual state. It cannot. So please, I still get caught up in that one. Because I can remember one, this was a number of years ago, I was going through a pretty dark time. I remember Margot came up to me and she put her hand on my back, said, just remember God loves you. And I, before I thought about it, I said, well, certainly doesn't feel that way. And I went, oh, do you believe this is the truth no matter how you feel? That was my challenge. It doesn't, and that was true, it doesn't feel that way. But it doesn't matter how it feels, it is still the truth. So your spiritual path is not always going to be highs and feeling good. See, that's another thing I got confused about this as a kid. And sometimes I keep some of my kid confusion with me even into adulthood. But one of the things that I thought I learned about God was that if you're good, whatever that means to you, if you're a good little boy or a good little girl, then God will bless you with good feelings. You will feel good. You will feel good about yourself. And the opposite is also true. If you feel bad about yourself, well, you must have done something. Or feel bad about yourself, then you're somehow or another rejecting God or pushing God. That's another one, pushing God away. You can't push God away. The God or unconditional love or whatever you want to call that power within you, the essence of who you are, cannot move, cannot be reduced, cannot be pushed away. The only thing we need to be aware of is that I can pretend. I can make believe that God is from it. But there's a song. It's a beautiful song, but for some reason it doesn't really resonate with me. About From a Distance, it's called. I think Bette Midler sang it, From a Distance. Beautiful song, but it's not true. Because God doesn't watch you from a distance. God is the essence of your being. You can't, there's nothing, nothing can separate you. Nothing can make you distant. So if you feel that way, just know that that's your feeling and you might need to do something with that, but it's not the truth. In fact, Jesus never spoke of feelings. He didn't say anything about, well, if you feel good, you must be right. If you feel bad, you must be wrong. He didn't say anything about that. He just kept speaking the truth. And the truth goes beyond feelings, goes beyond the present moment, goes beyond the past moment, goes beyond the future moment.
Gary.
Yes.
I think for me, what I hear you saying is the our ego. Our ego is the, it gives me the message. It beats me up all the time, my ego. And I'm coming to see it as my ego these days, because if it is, when it's God, they're not the same messages. It's not like, it's, he doesn't talk about me like that. My ego wants to beat me up, and God doesn't. It's a very loving, kind message when it's the Holy Spirit. So today I'm learning that, just like you said, that's not true. That's not who I am. And I can recognize it and listen to the Holy Spirit and get back in alignment.
Okay, let me share something with you that comes a little bit later in the book. The divine self loves through you. You are a unique expression of divine love. The small self doesn't really love. Personality self, the ego, it can't, limited. She may get a crush, she may have a preference. But the divine love that flows through you may be expressed in many ways. The love of a mother to a child is divine love. It is not maternal love. It's not separate, not special. It is the love that holds no judgment and no contingencies. It's unconditional, in other words. If he treats me well, I will love him. It has nothing to do with love. Do you understand this? When you love your enemy as yourself, you know love. When you can love another with no expectation of return, you know love. When you think you know love, you think you know love. In other words, you're just up here. Love is the action of the Creator serving through and expressing as you. Each one of you in this room is a unique expression of divine love. That's what we're here for, to remember that. That's what this lifetime's about. It's what the next one's about. The one before is about, is to recognize that you are a unique expression of divine love. No matter what you might feel, no matter what your life experience might have been, goes far beyond your experience, far beyond your feelings. We will reinforce this for you now. Whatever you think you are is an illusion. Whatever definitions you've dug up about yourself is not real. As I like to say so often, and I'm not sure where these words came from, but they resonate with me. The good news is you're not who you think you are. Who you think you are is, you know, good, bad, some level of duality, some description, some definition. That's not who you are. You are a unique expression of divine love, no matter how you might feel, no matter what your life experience might have told you. Whatever you think you are is an illusion. I know who I am is a claim of truth. That we're not talking about personality. We're not talking about ego consciousness. The I that we're talking about here is the truth of who you are, beyond feelings, beyond thought. I know who I am is a claim of truth. You are always a divine being, even if you don't know it. The aspect of you who does know, the I am presence, is who claims this as itself through you. When Moses was given the Ten Commandments on top of Mount Sinai, he said, "Who are you? What shall I tell people you are?" And Yahweh replied, "I am what I am." Popeye picked that up a little bit later, right? But Yahweh said it first, "I am who I am." That's who you can tell, "I am." There's nothing, there's, I am everything that is. I am all that is. I encompass all that is, including you. The aspect of you who does know, the I am presence, is who claims this as itself through you. I know what I am in this incarnation, in these exchanges that I know myself through as the divine being I am. I know how I serve. The expression of God as and through you comes as it is, not as you configure it through your intellect or through your small self. So you don't say, "Well, I think I'll be a reflection of God today." You already are. We choose whether to be very limited in that expression or be open to that expression as in its fullness. Usually when I go into a grocery shop, when I go to Kroger's, before I go in there, I make a conscious choice that I am going to be a reflection of divine love when I walk in that store. I forgot to do it the other day. I was preoccupied with my grocery list. Not that that would ever happen to you, but I was preoccupied with my grocery list. And as I was walking around hunting for whatever it was I was looking for, I walked by this lady and she looked at me and she smiled. Oh, that's a reflection of divine love. I forgot to do that myself. So I kind of flicked the switch. Someone, without even thinking about it, someone showed me the truth of who she is. And by showing me the truth of who she is, she showed me the truth of who I am.
Jerry.
Yeah, Matt. If you wouldn't mind. Can you guys hear him?
Just starting, so you can hear? Good.
Yeah, okay, good.
I'm a new grandparent, new grandfather.
Congrats.
My granddaughter is 10 months old, and I go to Kroger a lot. Because we have a lot of other family, and I feel like I'm always at Kroger's. and it seems like it's the same thing, but recently she's gotten old enough for me to take her with me and to put her in that basket and to see not only her reaction to everything, but all the people in there. Because it's pure joy to see this little girl going around. And so that reminds me that what she expresses, I can express.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Matt. A number of years ago, we had our first grandchild. Her name's Michaela. And we were up in Chicago. It was wintertime in Chicago. And I was carrying her. She was dressed in one of those sort of coat sleeping bags, a little baby's. That was more like a sleeping bag than was anything else. And I was holding her, and I was holding her close to my chest. And I could feel this, physically feel this warmth. But beyond that, I could feel the love emanating just kind of directly into my heart. So people would say, do you want me to take her? I said, no. I was freezing and my arms were tired, but no, I didn't want to give her up. Right around the same time, I was reading A Course in Miracles for about the umpteenth time. And it started talking about something it called special relationships. And it said, really, there's no such thing as a special relationship, because that sort of makes love conditional rather than unconditional. And I remember thinking to myself, well, that's garbage. I said, because my relationship with Michaela is special. My relationship with Margot is special. And I started listing all of these special relationships that I had. And I sat with that quietly. And a voice from heaven spoke to me, spoke to my heart, and said, now, do you recall how much you loved your little granddaughter, Michaela, how much she loved you back? And I said, yes. And the voice continued to say, that's how you're being asked to love everybody. I went, oh. That's how you're supposed to love everybody. Changed my whole outlook. Never forgot that. Special relationship, if you want, but what's that teaching me? So you put this little wonderful little bundle of joy in the shopping cart, and you see the look of wonder on her face looking around, but you also see everybody else being touched by that. How beautiful. Thanks for that, Matt.
It starts, like you said, Jerry, by loving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
By loving ourselves. It had to start with me. I know, I think about all the years I drank and drugged, and that was such ego. And today, I remember when that ego would speak to me and say, let's go out and let's have some beer and let's have a party. Let's go have some fun. Today, I can see it as, it was such a lie. Such a lie. And I listened to it for so many years. And today, I'm so thankful that I don't have that message anymore. I have a message of love, like you say, for myself and for others. I don't feel that shame and guilt anymore. And I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Jerry.
Thanks, Diane.
Jerry.
Yes, John.
So one of the most challenging things about the surgery that I went through was being in the waiting room, and there were hundreds of people there. And I got there, and as the day wore on, people were coming and going. But for me, one of the fear was there, because I knew Gina's history, and that there had been a surgery a number of years ago where they had a lot of trouble bringing her out of the anesthesia.
Mm.
And there had been other issues. And so I was filled with fear. And I got up and I was pacing and what have you. And there was this man who apparently was watching me, and he was very unlike me in a number of ways, including ethnically, and he was different. And he was watching me, and at one point as I was passing him, he said to me, everything is going to be okay.
Mm.
And so I'm thinking about this because of this woman you saw in the grocery store who smiled at you. And the way he spoke to me, I stopped and I looked at him, and he just spoke to me for a little while. And the way he spoke to me, I just felt this peace emanating from him. Now, he obviously was waiting himself on someone else who was going through surgery. But his peace just came to me and it helped me through this process. This morning, I had to go back to the hospital because Gina is so sensitive to medication. She needed such a mild dose of the medication. And the doctors yesterday were looking for a pharmacy that had it and couldn't find one. And they finally found it at the hospital pharmacy. So they called it in late last night. And I went there early this morning and I got it. And as I was leaving the hospital, he was walking into the hospital. And he saw me and he said, "Hello, how are you?" Mm-hmm. And so I said, "I'm doing great. I got to take my wife home last night." Because she had spent the night before in the hospital. And he said, "Oh, I'm so, yeah, I told you everything would be okay."
Wow.
What a blessing we can be to each other.
What a God moment.
Yes.
What a God moment.
Exactly. So we can be a blessing to each other. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, John. Years ago when my father was dying, my mom and I were sitting in the waiting room of a hospital up in Rhinebeck, New York. And we were both smokers at that particular time, so we would give one another a break every once in a while. One would smoke downstairs because you couldn't smoke in the waiting room, even back then. And so one moment, I was sitting alone by myself in this little waiting room reading a Ladies Home Journal or something, whatever magazine was left over there. And little girl came walking in the waiting room, pushing a wheelchair. And there was a little bear, a little stuffed bear in the wheelchair. Now, ordinarily, I am such a dyed-in-the-wool introvert, especially since I'm grieving at that moment. I really didn't want to be disturbed. But I somehow, without even thinking about it, I sort of transcended my reluctancy and said, "Hi, what's your name?" She said her name was Missy. And I could tell as soon as we started talking that she had a cleft palate. And I'm not sure whether that's why she was in the hospital for. And so anyway, we had a little conversation. She talked about her bear. And then my mom came back in. And they had a girl conversation about dolls and dresses and all kinds of other stuff. And about 5 minutes later, Nurse Ratched came in and read her the Riot Act, and got her sitting in the wheelchair again, put the bear on her lap, just sort of waved goodbye. Said, "I never forgot that moment. You know, she touched my heart in a way that no one or nothing else could have at that particular time. And she blessed me with her presence. Never saw her again." And I often wondered this, that John's statement made me wonder about this too, is how many of those God moments are going on around me all the time and I miss them? How many times does God show up in my life in a disguise? Because we're all disguised some way or another, and I miss it. How did Mother Teresa put it? Somebody asked Mother Teresa, "What's your purpose in life?" And she said, I love it. She said, "To see the Christ in all his distressing disguises." To see the Christ in all his distressing disguises. I know how I serve. The expression of God as and through you comes as it is, not as you configure it through the intellect or the small self. God serves through you because it is the one who you are. God has to serve through you. Can't be any other way. Do you understand this? So there's no lying here. These things are always true. And even for the atheist, it's still true. Even if you don't want to believe it, it's still true. Just because you don't believe it doesn't make it not true. These things are always true. Even for the atheist, it is still true. You can all attend to whatever beliefs you hold. The divine as you, the spark of the creator, is ever present, even in your denial of it. You cannot lie and claim these words. They are always true. How do I know? He says, you know, your small self might not know, but your higher consciousness always knows. And it's not your higher consciousness that is asking that question, how do I know? It's the part of me that wants proof of something. And the proof that my small self desires is never going to be enough. Now, when you attend to the self as the one climbing the mountain, you come with some suppositions. I will know myself as I'm supposed to know myself. Earlier we said you need to welcome the new, and we release the self and put new shoes on so you may have a new experience of what you see and what may be claimed. We show you now what may be witnessed from a higher vantage point. That's what John was talking about. Here I am worried, fearful about what's going on in this operation. And this guy comes along, somebody I don't know, somebody I might not ever see again, and tells me, everything's going to be okay. Here is somebody who is looking at this whole picture from a higher point of view. I remember years ago when I was watching Bishop Sheen as a little kid on television. He said, worry is another form of atheism, which cracked me up, okay? What are you worried about? Everything is going to be okay. Or as a friend of mine like, imagine for a moment, and we're going to turn this into a meditation in a couple of minutes. Well, actually, we'll do it right now because I know we need to close a little bit earlier. We got a lot going on here at church today. So how about putting your stuff down? Closing your eyes, taking a couple of breaths. And allow yourself to fall into the rhythm of your breathing. Without struggle, without fighting with it, just allowing the mind to gently quiet a little bit more. It might still be talking, but it's like a voice down the hallway. We don't have to pay a whole lot of attention to it. Breathing in, breathing out. Knowing that we have a personality and an ego consciousness. But that's sort of like the clothes we wear. They're not who we are. They're necessary to function in the outside world, but they are limited as far as what they can teach us and as far as what they know. There have been moments in our lives when we have awakened to the divine truth of who we are. Without thinking about it, I'm just going to ask you to call to mind one of those moments for yourself. When you experienced yourself resonating far beyond your personality, far beyond your ego, you found yourself resonating with the divine truth of who you are. It might have been a moment of unconditional love. Might have been in a moment of having a prayer being answered. Might have been in a moment of simply opening yourself up to the love that you are, being free, a moment of surrender, a moment of divine peacefulness. Just choose one that comes to your consciousness now. And know that this is more than a memory. It's an experience. You're giving yourself the opportunity to rest in that experience. Rest in the energy of that experience, healing, cleansing, peacefulness, power, strength, joy, presence. And imagine or feel or sense that you can breathe that into your being. That it touches every cell and fiber of what you are, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And know that this experience is always with you. The energy of it is always with you. It is far beyond a memory. It is something that has touched you so deeply that you can never forget. You might misplace it once in a while, but it's always there. And so with a sense of love, gratitude, know that you can take this with you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And when you're ready to, you can stretch a bit. Take another deep breath. Open your eyes. Does anybody have any closing thoughts before we close this morning? Again, make sure you get on our list. If you're not on there already, jerryboy@twc.com. Send it along and I'll make sure you get on our list and get all the goodies that we give everybody else every Sunday morning. Know that you take all of this with you. So I want to thank you for being here this morning. Know that all of you who are here online, that you're always invited back to be here in person. We've got a nice room with some heat in it that we didn't have when we first got here. You're always welcome. So thank you all for being here. I'll see you again soon, okay?
Peace. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Live long and prosper.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome, guys.
Love you guys.
Thanks, Greg. Love you too.